turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11 with me. Book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. I'm glad that you're here this morning. One of the things that is always difficult is when you stand in this spot, as you look out and you see who's not here. And it jerks at your heart. But then you got to remember something. You can't preach to them if they're not here. And so you're the ones who have come. And we trust that it'll be a blessing to your heart. I don't know what's happened to my ear right now, but I feel like I'm hollow on the inside. Don't say anything. It's reverberating in there. How many have noticed when you're getting older, parts wear out? I'll tell you what, getting old is not for sissies. If you're whining now, just wait. Got to make sure you have something to whine about. Let me give you a little key on health. No matter how bad it gets, keep a positive attitude. Don't moan and groan about it. Oh, you know, I have people ask me all the time, but it doesn't help to moan and groan about it. Matter of fact, it makes it worse. And it just does, okay? Remember that. You got that, Clarissa? All right. That was your last instruction as a senior. Oh. June 1st is our graduation here. We got three that are going to be graduating. She and Jalen, a little Chinese girl most of you don't know by the name of, what is her name? Lydia. It had left me. Actually born in Beijing. Yeah, quite a story. Chapter number 11. And I want to go to verse 5 and 6. I normally read a goodly portion, but I just like to stick to these two. And I think you can see why. Verse number 5 says, by faith. When you look at this chapter, you find those two words often. And you will find with those two words a name that is mentioned and how they operated by faith. Now notice what it says here in verse 5, and by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. You say translated, was he changed from one language to another? No, from one place to another. He was taken from earth to heaven. He never died. And it says, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Enoch had a testimony. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much this morning. We can gather in this place. Thank you for these mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers. Lord, we just pray for them in a special way that you would bless them. You would give them honor today that is due them. And Lord God, that you would use them in the days and the weeks and the months ahead. Glorify yourself in this time as we look to your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A testimony is a declaration of truth. Oftentimes, it is firsthand authentication of a fact. In other words, you see it and you tell somebody else about it. Enoch had a testimony. For Enoch, we find it was what he believed that was well known. Did you see that? It says, by faith. faith. He was translated, should not see death, was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And so his testimony pleased God. His love for God, if we could say. When we go to verse number 6, I believe that we notice something very particular as he gives to us here faith is, you know, what it's really all about. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Now, let's stop for a moment and think about faith. Oftentimes, people see faith as just kind of a big generic term, and they will say something like, you just need to have the faith, baby. Faith is not an abstract term. Faith is that which is believing what somebody else has said, is believing them. And so you find in the Bible, the word faith and belief are very interchangeable. And we must remember that. So we notice here, without faith, in other words, without believing who? God. It's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe. Now notice something here. Here's something he must believe. He must believe who or that he is. In other words, he needs to believe in the existence of God. The existence of God. Now, the existence of God and believing in that will not get you saved. It will not take you to heaven. But there must be a faith that he is one that exists. Why are you going to call upon a God that does not exist? We also find in this verse, it says, and he is rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So he believed in the existence of God, and he believed that God would take care of him. People saw that. It was a testimony to them. And because of it, God took him directly to heaven. You and I may well be in the generation of people that do not die, but go directly into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we realize today that Jesus could come at any moment? Some people say, well, people have believed that for a long time. What that means is that we are closer than they were. Quit getting the idea it's never going to happen, because he is coming. He said he'd come the first time, he did, and he says he'll come the second time, and he will. Okay? And so you and I, we have a marvelous thing that we have a God that will take care of us now and throughout eternity. Now, we often think about this saying of a testimony. I believe there's three ways in which people can receive our testimony. Three different avenues by which our testimony, whatever it is going to be known by other folks. And I believe it's very simply this: what we say, what we do, and who we are. People are going to receive our testimony by what we say. How are they going to receive it if they don't hear it? Never underestimate the power of your spoken testimony. This one says in Revelation 12, verse 11, and they overcame him, referring to the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. That verse tells us there was three things that helped them to overcome the power of Satan: the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and that they did not love themselves more than they loved God. But notice there, the word of their testimony. What we say is very important. Matter of fact, our words are a product of our heart. The Bible teaches us in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, it says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Think about it for a moment. God's word is true. And what is inside is going to come out in our words. Where our thoughts are will be our words. I believe when the psalmist wrote, he was thinking of that. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What we say comes out of a heart. What we say comes from those thoughts that are within us. Listen, if you meditate upon movies and fleshly thoughts, you will generally have wrong words. If you meditate, let's say, on games, your thoughts will probably be in a fantasy world. If you think about a lot things like drugs and TV and let me just put in here cars and how about quilting, ladies, or makeup or anything else, if you think about that a whole lot, you're going to be talking about it. It's going to come forth. What we say is that is our testimony. And what we say must be that which testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're thinking on Him, if our heart is upon Him, then we just can't help ourselves but talk about Him. I've heard folks say, well, what do we say when we witness to others? Well, if you got your heart in the right place, the words will come. If you're thinking about the Savior and how you love Him, hey, listen, you'll be able to say it. It comes out from within. What we say is a part of our testimony. But not only that, what we do is a part of our testimony. Works are a visible reminder. It tells us in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. I want you to think about that. The Lord is saying this, let your light shine before men what they might see your good works. They need to see what you are doing and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, our works reveal a living faith. What we do comes out of what we believe. In James chapter 2, listen to this, a lengthy portion, but it says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? What that is trying to say is, can that kind of faith save him? That kind of faith that saith that he has it. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. You see, what you believe will show up in your actions. It's a natural outcome of it. Works uncover God's working that's within us. I think of the book of Ephesians chapter 2, and we have here some tremendous verses. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Think about that. By grace you're saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. How do we get saved? How do we get saved? By faith. Through the grace of God. In other words, it's not something you deserve. God is being gracious, and if you will believe Him for it, He will save your hell-deserving soul. It goes on to say, not of works, lest any man should boast. Your works do not get you saved. They do not help you one little bit. You say, well, I deserve to go to heaven. No, you don't. We deserve to go to hell. That's what we deserve. And so we find then that the verse goes on and says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Works don't get you saved, but works come as a result of being saved. And so it's under good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Works are something that are pleasing to God. Not only do they speak as a testimony to people, but it's pleasing to God. In chapter 13 of Hebrews, verse 20, it says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to be glory forever and ever. Amen. Our works are pleasing to God, those which are good, those which are helpful, those kinds of things. And so what do? We find, as we think of this word testimony, that we have a testimony by the things that we say. We have a testimony by the way that we act, by our works, the things that we do. People see that. But there's one other thing, and that is who we are. Who we are. And when I use that term, it's very simple. That's the person that is within. That one which is within. Thus the qualities of the soul and of the spirit. We find that these kind are known by their fruits. In the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 15, says, beware of false prophets. Now, there's a reason we're going to this, but notice, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Now, they're in sheep's clothing, but what are they really? They're wolves. They're false. That's what he's teaching. They're false prophets. We could call them hypocrites. He goes on and says, ye shall know them by their fruits. How do you know a false prophet? How do you know? Well, we don't look at their clothing, we look at their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. How do we know them? We know who they are. How? Through their fruits. Through their fruits. Listen, you do not recognize false prophets by their words, because they speak good words. You don't notice it by their actions, but you certainly can by their fruit. You say, what do you mean by their fruit? Well, think about the book of Galatians for a moment. In chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23, it says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is. Are we going to find out what the fruits are? Matter of fact, by the way, it doesn't say fruits, it says fruit. This is a combination thing. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And so who we are, what we demonstrate out of our lives, out of the inward part of us, is a joy. There's a love. There's a peace that just falls within them. There's long suffering, which is patience. There's a gentleness about them. There's a goodness. There's a faith that can be seen. There's meekness and temperance. We find these things are part of the person. And if they do not have the Spirit of God, they do not have these fruit, because it's the fruit of the Spirit. But not only do we find that they have fruit, but I think they also have some attributes. For instance, a loving and a forgiving spirit. Listen to the last part of the Lord's Prayer. In chapter 6 of Matthew, it says, "And forgive us our debts." Do you know what the next few words are? I didn't hear you. I think I heard, "As we forgive our debtors." Forgive us our debts, how? As we forgive. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses. Now, this is interesting. After all the Lord's Prayer, and it ends with the amen, he goes on to explain something about forgiveness. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I read just a portion of one of my children's remarks to their mother. And the thing that I read was that she was so forgiving. And if you knew my kids, you'd understand that. I'm somewhat teasing, but listen, they were not exactly angels. They grew up with your kids, so don't say anything. Do you ever think about this? Unforgiveness is a greater sin than what another did to you. If they did something to you that is horrible, but you don't forgive them, I think we're talking about something that is larger. I believe there's something else that is within the life of this person, that which is within, and that is a great love for the brethren. They love God's people. They love them. 1 John chapter 3 says, "We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren." Did you catch that? We know. Doesn't say we think so. We know that we have passed from death into life. In other words, we know that we've been saved. We know they're going to heaven. Why? One of the reasons is because we love the brethren. If we don't love the brethren, we're not going to be spending eternity with them. "He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." God is very specific about this. "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. What do we find? Our testimony is what we say. Our testimony is what we do. And our testimony is who we are. If you have no words from the heart about your love for God, if you do not have works that reveal a deep-seated faith in God, excuse me, and you don't have fruit that comes from within by the Holy Spirit of God, and also has the attributes of forgiveness and love of Christian brothers, all I can say is, you evidently are lost and headed to hell. You need Jesus. Thinking of forgiveness, he wants to forgive you. He wants to forgive you. Say, what in the world are you talking about? Do you know what you deserve because of your sin? The wages of sin, that's what we deserve. The wages of sin is death. Period, that's it. Back in the book of Genesis, God told Adam and Eve, "In the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die." He's saying the wages of sin is death. That's why people die. Because we have sinned. See? But there's something about death. We find that there are really two deaths in the Bible. There's a physical death, but there's an eternal death. Everybody in this room, if the Lord doesn't come back, your body will die. But your spirit won't. Nobody's spirit in this room will die. But there is an eternal death, and that is, if you've not accepted Christ your Savior, your spirit, your person, your being will be separated from God for all of eternity. And we'll be in a place that is called worse than hell. It's called the lake of fire. That's what we deserve. What did Jesus do on the cross? The wages of sin is what? What did Jesus do on the cross? The wages of sin is what? And what did Jesus do on the cross? He died. Did he die because it was his sin? No, he had no sin. But we find the Word of God, it tells us that our sins were laid upon him. They were laid upon him. And because they were laid upon him, he was what? Dying for us. Back in the Old Testament, there's a beautiful story. They would have a lamb. She's sitting up here, Madison. She's down here eagerly taking notes. And they would find a lamb that was without blemish. So we have a lot of beautiful girls in our church. They can't be members if they aren't. I'm teasing there. You know what they would do before they killed that lamb? They would lay their hands upon their head. You know what's taking place? They were saying, what I am is now what she is. She's now my substitute. And when she dies, it's taking care of what I deserve. You can be seated. And so on him was laid the iniquity of us all. See, how do I get that? We're back to this thing of faith. So we mean faith. God said all that. If you believe it, it's yours. Pretty simple, eh? Marvelous, amen. Wow. I get mixed up nowadays, but I think it was 55 years ago I accepted Christ, my Savior. I was a 19-year-old boy, and God came into my life. For you who are trying to add, I'm 74. You'll be here the rest of the morning trying to figure that out if I don't tell you. Because you don't have your calculator with you, you're messed up. Calculate this. Without Jesus, you have an eternity for hell. With him, you have an eternity in heaven. The choice is yours. I can't make it for you. Father's Day, working hearts, bless. May you be honored. May someone this morning get saved. May your people have a greater testimony in the things that they say, the way they behave, and who they are on the inside. I pray that you'll bless in these moments of invitation in Christ's name.